Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, one and all, and welcome to Trisha's True Crime Radio. Now, we're the only radio show with scrubbing bubbles. Yes, we have them. Tonight, we're going to talk about another boring day in court, and I'm really yawning. I mean, I started to watch the Zimmerman trial again today, and it was the snooze fest. I couldn't decide whether I should drink a whole bottle of NyQuil or just watch the court proceedings and go into a coma. It may have picked up later. I'm not sure. I finally just quit watching. And I'm kind of just going to run a stream of consciousness here with some thoughts that are flailing through my brain. So forgive me if it frightens you. Somebody told me that Nancy Grace is still trying to convict George Zimmerman. With all of the non-evidence that has come out, I can't believe she would do that. I mean, I believe it. I guess I should believe it because, you know, after all, if you remember some of the things she's done in the past. But that just really surprises me that she's still trying to convince him or convict him in the eye of the public opinion with her radio show. I think that's just not right. You have a big, powerful show on headline news like that. You don't use it to do something wrong. Just present the evidence as it is and let people decide for themselves rather than having to pick a side all the time because sometimes you're wrong. And with all that power that you have on the television, it can ruin lives, Nancy Grace. So do remember that. Okay, like she even cares what I'm saying. Hey, my name's Trisha, and we're still waiting for Cheryl McCollum to call in from the Cold Case Troop, from the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute. She is our eyes and ears in the courtroom, and I think she's going to be in the courtroom this week, if I'm not mistaken, and she'll be able to tell us exactly what is going on. Now, I do have some big news, but I can't tell you. I was waiting for permission to tell you, and I haven't heard back yet whether I can tell you the big news or not. And let's see, maybe this is it coming in. Oh, it is. Let's see. Oh, well, he says I can't tell you. So I can't tell you. Never mind. Ignore that. Erase, 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 as the comedian says. Erase that big announcement. There is nothing. I was just kidding. I'll tell you what. We're going to go to the phones for a little bit and talk to some of our callers. Would you look at this? It's Michael in Minnesota calling in to save me once again. Michael, did you see Nancy? I haven't seen Nancy Grace. Have you seen her? Is she really trying to still convict George Zimmerman?
She most absolutely is, and it's hard for me to watch. She cuts anybody off who says anything in defense of George Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
She repeatedly refers to him as chasing down this guy as if to suggest vigilante justice. And from all the testimony I've heard and George's telling of the events, he only got out of the car, as Cheryl has repeated on this show repeatedly, to find the address on the nearest townhome and to look for a street sign. He's been consistent in that statement always. He's never fluctuated from it. And when they asked which direction Trayvon went, he went to see if he could see, first of all, if there was a street sign on the opposite street, you know, to cross that T.
Mm-hmm.
So he walked across the T looking for a street sign. And then as he was coming back to the T, he looked down between the houses and didn't see Trayvon, and it wasn't until he got a little past the tee that Trayvon jumped out. He had been hiding,
mm-hmm.
and approached him with, "Man, you got a problem, or what? Why are you following me?" or whatever he said.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not at all like people have made it sound, and Nancy Grace is leading that charge that he was following this guy. He got out of his car when he was told not to. No, he wanted to find accurate information that the 911 operator or the
mm-hmm.
non-emergency number was asking for. So to misrepresent it so, I think, is just doing an injustice for the country to heal. If this verdict is not guilty, we can't have people like that falsifying the facts.
Well, and that's true, and that is so wrong of Nancy Grace to do, but let's face it, she's done it before. Let's talk about, let's gossip about Nancy tonight while we wait for Cheryl to call in, shall we? Because I used to be her biggest supporter. I loved that woman. I mean, I literally would plan my nights around the Nancy Grace show on HLN, or even when she was on Court TV, and it came on. Her show comes on at 6 o'clock here. We plan our dinner around it. I had to watch Nancy. Everybody had to be quiet. And it got so uncomfortable to watch Nancy Grace because of the horrible things that she did to people that had no, that she shouldn't have been picking on, and she was. You know, the Duke lacrosse team, they were not only totally, completely cleared, they got an apology from the governor, the prosecutor was arrested. I mean, it was so bad. And the day that all of that was announced, Nancy didn't show up on her show. And I thought that was pretty cowardly, if I do say so myself. It doesn't surprise me that she's doing this with George Zimmerman, because she seems to take a side immediately and stays with that side. A perfect example is the Elizabeth Smart case. I want to remind everybody, there was a man that was arrested. He wasn't charged with kidnapping her, but he was arrested, and basically they said, he's our guy. His name was Richard Reese. They made up
a
story about...
Was he the gardener or something?
Yeah, he was one of the handymen.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm actually... I know his widow, and somebody made up a story that Richard's car had 200 or 400 miles on it that was from the day before, and it had all this mud on it, and it made it look like that he had kidnapped Elizabeth and buried her. Totally falsified, absolutely falsified. Angela Reese, Richard Reese's widow, goes on Nancy Grace, and Nancy absolutely just doesn't believe her when she says that, yeah, Richard was home with me all night. He didn't go out. Then when it came out that Richard Reese, first of all, Richard Reese was arrested on a parole violation. He drank a beer, and they put him basically in prison for it. And in my opinion, they questioned him until literally his head exploded. He died of a stroke, of a brain bleed, and while he was in prison. So it comes out that it has nothing to do with Richard Reese. It's this weirdo Emmanuel that their father, that Elizabeth's father, has brought home to roof the house very cheaply. And you would think Nancy would get on the air and say something. Like, you know,
nothing.
To Angela Reese, I'm so sorry, nothing. Angela even saw her after that, and she wouldn't even say anything to her. And I just think that is so tacky. You know, come on. Just, if you're wrong, admit you're wrong. But... There are so many examples, and people are coming up with them in the chat room as well. I just absolutely cannot take Nancy Grace anymore. And that doesn't surprise me that she is doing this to George Zimmerman. Now, I still want to see what the defense has to do, and I still want to see what the prosecution has left. If Cheryl McCollum were here, she'd be talking about how the defense has turned pretty much every witness. Now, what they started out with this morning in the George Zimmerman trial was a sound expert. And basically what he said was, you can't tell whose voice that is. So no matter what anybody says, you can't believe them because you can't tell who the voice is, who it belongs to. And that was basically that. And it was so boring. I really had trouble keeping my eyes open because it comes on very early where I live. And then after that, Michael, you got a better sense of what the day was like. What happened throughout the day in the trial?
Well, first of all, yeah, there was him, and you have to wonder, what was the point of that? If he can't, all he's saying is there's no scientist, forensic audio expert who can possibly testify of, given 3 minutes of an excited utter, or 3 seconds, not even, 2.5 was it, that they were able to isolate out? Or 0.25 seconds. It was a minuscule amount, because in order to do voice recognition the way he described it, you need to be able to, A, have an audible talking voice that you're able to compare to. There's no way to reenact a scream in terror, and you have to isolate out all of the other voices and everything, and he only ended up with a very small segment, and you need at least 30 seconds of communication or dialogue, and again, you cut out all of the empty spots and you have a continuous voice pattern, and you end up in a 30-second audio, you usually end up with roughly around 15 seconds, and that's even stretching it, but he just said there's no one who can conclusively even test such a short utterance. But he was followed up then on the stand, again, by the prosecution, by the first woman who interviewed, they brought in to interview George
That's
Zimmerman.
Right. The police officer, yes.
The police, yeah. And he gave a statement. She had him write it down. Again, she addressed his wounds and asked if he wanted to see someone, if he thought he needed medical care, and he decided not to. But, you know, it was every single story was completely consistent. She talked about what he said in his statement, then they played the audio from it, completely consistent again. Mm-hmm. Then when he wrote, he used the term suspect when referring to Trayvon Martin. And all the prosecution could do was make a big deal that he chose that verbiage. And what difference does it make? What was he supposed to refer to Trayvon as? He didn't know his name at the time.
Right.
The guy I'm chasing, suspect is one word. But the prosecution really thought they had something with his use of suspect in his written statement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you find that sinister at all, Trish?
I don't, and I'll tell you why, because I think George Zimmerman, nothing to do with his guilt or innocence, I just think George Zimmerman likes to talk like a cop, like they were talking about last night. He always throws in this cop lingo whenever he can. And if that's all the prosecution had today, I mean, maybe there was more, but that wasn't a whole lot. Also, didn't they say, hey, what if Trayvon's phone recorded the incident? And George Zimmerman basically said, that'd be great. I hope so. Again,
yeah, that came from the next witness after the woman. We were going in order here. And he was the lead investigator assigned to the case. And that was not in his first interview that he employed that tactic. He interviewed George the first night at 12:05 or midnight 05 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he had already listened or been made aware of the previous interrogators, and he'd also seen the written statement that George had done.
Mm-hmm.
So he went in with that kind of basis, and essentially it didn't last terribly long. He at that time asked George if he would be willing to go back to the scene and do a reenactment, and all George mentioned was something to do with a class, but he would be happy to skip it. And he thought, the investigator thought that was odd that he would be thinking about his class. But again, I don't know how you can characterize what someone's thinking when they've been through something like that. I'm sure all sorts of things are popping in your head that don't make sense, you know.
Right.
You just shot someone, and he didn't even realize that Trayvon was dead.
Mm-hmm.
It was the female interrogator that said she was, I don't remember. They were talking about religion, and somehow it came out that George wasn't aware that Trayvon had died. And so she said, well, you're aware he died, aren't you? And George dropped his head and shook it in a negative manner.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that really doesn't sound like the actions of a guy who really wanted to kill someone. He just wanted to stop the beating he was suffering at the hands of this guy.
And that's how you see it, and there's lots of differing opinions on that. I am beginning to really believe that the prosecution has nothing. I thought today, and I was wrong, I'll admit I was wrong, I thought today they would jump in and have some Perry Mason moment or something where I go, okay, now that makes sense. And all along, people who have been on George Zimmerman's side has been saying, the state brought this case with no evidence. The prosecutor skipped the grand jury. There's going to be no evidence. And I always thought, calm down here, people. This guy shot an unarmed 17-year-old. The prosecution isn't going to go in there willy-nilly with nothing and prosecute/persecute this man. It kind of looks like they're doing that. Now, I still think George is ultimately responsible because he was the adult and he had the gun. But it's not looking anything like I thought it would when the case started. And that's
me neither. And I did come into this completely open-minded.
Yes,
you
did.
I hate guns. I'll just put that right out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, if I had an able-bodied, fit person sitting on me, pinning me down, and beating the shit out of me, if I had a weapon, I would have to use it, I'd think. you know.
Oh, absolutely.
I wouldn't
yeah.
have a weapon, so I probably would have succumbed to the beating, especially as he called out for help, George, and no one mm-hmm. was coming to his aid.
Right. And I do think it was George screaming. I do, because he was the one that was panicked.
Yeah, and he repeatedly said that. And the mm-hmm. testimony of the neighbor Wood also, he was very clear that George was on the bottom, and when he saw him at his door, open the door and step out, he looked mm-hmm. right at him and said, "Help, help." And as
right.
as they also testified, the was it Tim Smith, the first responding officer, George kept saying, he said it twice, "I kept calling for help and no one would help. No
mm-hmm.
one came."
It's right. I mean, it's obvious. It's all of these big things that we thought the prosecution was going to be able to present and provide for us as we watch the general public. It's not happening. It is all going for George. Now, and if Cheryl were here, I would ask her this question, and I'm not going to torment her too much for not showing up, just constantly for the rest of her life if she doesn't call in. But if Cheryl were here, or we had our attorney friend in the audience, perhaps can check this out. I am assuming the defense is going to ask that the case be dismissed. I believe it's called summary judgment. If this really truly is all the prosecution has, I don't know this judge. Maybe she won't, but it wouldn't surprise me if they asked for the case to be dismissed, and she did it, based on what we have seen so far.
Well,
it'll be interesting.
Your guest on Friday, that attorney, said that any other judge up to this point, what we had heard on Friday, any other judge would probably grant and say the state has not, fulfilled their burden of proof.
Right, burden of proof. Mm-hmm.
Right, now, today's testimony, I don't know, you had mentioned Cheryl sent a text saying good day for prosecution.
Yeah, I'm going
to
read that text.
I listened to the whole thing, and I didn't get that, so.
I'm wondering if she was kidding. I don't know. Here's what it
says. Have you tried calling her?
Oh, yes. She's going to think I'm stalking her. She says, at work, trying to stay free to call. Good day for the state. That's what she said. Good day for the state. Which is a prosecution. I'm wondering if she was being, funny, or if she meant to say bad day for the state. I don't know. Because based on what you've said, based on what I've read and what I watched, I'm like, huh? It's so, Michael, in Minnesota, it is so baffling to me that the prosecution brought this huge charge against George Zimmerman. And, in the beginning, I was one of those people. I was disgusted by George Zimmerman. I thought
mm-hmm.
he had used a racial slur. I thought he had chased down this kid. I thought he had just basically murdered him because he was standing while black. I mean, I believed it all. I believed the rhetoric and the hype. And now the truth is coming out. I'm like, I'll never do that again. I will never believe the hype on anything until I see it for myself. Because if this is the best the state has, this is shameful. This is shameful. And
well,
I don't...
Well, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
I keep waiting, Trish. I keep waiting to hear something that I can understand why they would then charge the man to support the allegation, of second-degree mm-hmm. murder. I haven't heard it.
Yeah, me either. Absolutely not. And as Mrs. Norris says in the chat room here, she said that this stuff seems to have been almost like a marketing campaign. And that's the truth. And I bought into it. And I am so mad at myself for doing that. I thought I was smarter. I was getting smarter. And I wasn't going to be able to be fooled again after the Richard Reese Elizabeth Smart incident. And I did it. I let myself be carried away with it all. And this is what happens. Again, it's not over until it's over, so who knows what will happen. There could be something that comes out. There could be, I just want to back up here. Montjoy said something in the chat room, and I want to repeat it because I agree. An unarmed child is shot. I think a trial is due diligence. I agree with that. It is due diligence.
Yeah, but again, to refer to him as a child, I don't think is accurate. He was six months away from legal being 18, and he was a big...
As
Cheryl has pointed out, he was a gang affiliate. He had gang tattoos, unless he just had gang tattoos and no gang affiliation. I guess that's possible. But this is not a choir boy 12-year-old. It's a big, 6-foot-tall, football-playing, thug 17-year-old. There's a vast difference. I think child is stretching it.
Well, there is, but legally, he was not an adult. That's what I'm saying, and he was unarmed, and I agree. I think that is due diligence. However, I do think they have overcharged him, and they have served up to the media false information, and that, to me, is what is shameful. Again, I'll say it again. If George Zimmerman would have stayed in his truck, if George Zimmerman didn't have a gun, none of this would happen, and that's how I look at it. However, I am beginning to see what he has been trying to say all along about what happened that night. And it is certainly a lot different than what we have been told. I'm going to see if we have any questions here in the chat room. I know we had some on Web Sleuth, but Cheryl isn't here, and they were legal-type questions, and I don't even want to dare tackle them because if I don't know something, I just make it up and act like I do, and that gets me in all kinds of trouble. So let's see. Let's go in the chat room here. Da-da-da-da. Okay, we're talking about the weight, slamming his head. Yeah, that's the other thing. This, as you said, Michael, this has really torn the country apart. I mean, on Web Sleuth, we only have one thread going for a general discussion. We can't have any more because we literally have to have somebody on that thread all day. If we don't, it erupts. It just erupts. And these people are as calm and wonderful and mature as you could get, and it gets to everybody. So tomorrow, let's see, the only day that they're not having court this week, I believe, is Thursday, correct? That's the July. I don't know if you would know. I'm acting like you're Cheryl. Thursday, July 4th. I'll just pretend like you're Cheryl, and you know it all. July 4th, obviously, no court. I'm wondering if they're going to make it a long weekend, maybe take off the 5th. I don't know. But I do know that Cheryl is definitely going to be in court tomorrow. So if she doesn't call in, there will be hell to pay. I will annoy her to absolutely no way. Oh, what pop? Oh, I heard about that pop. I don't know. Did I just pop a pee? Can someone tell me?
Did I
just pop my peas? Okay, good, because I bought a special wind guard, so I would never pop my peas again. Okay, well, you know what? I don't think Cheryl's going to call in. And, Michael, do you have anything else you would like to add, my darling, wonderful friend?
No, not at all. I'm so sorry we didn't get Cheryl, because I was anxious to hear her take on today's testimony. Again, I didn't hear it. Whatever it was that was supposedly so great or...
Great for the state. I know. Well, don't worry. I will harass.
Does anyone in the chat room have any idea what was great for the prosecution today? Is anyone?
There you go. Anyone, if you can think of what was great for the state today, go ahead and type it, and let's see if we, because we couldn't find it. And that's what Cheryl texted us, and I don't know what she was talking about. I have no clue. Let's see. Okay, there was no foreign DNA on Trayvon. That's another weird thing. But I think that had to do with the rain, and I don't know. There's kind of some weird, quirky things that I still don't understand about the case, and we may never have the answers. That's the trouble with this. Tomorrow, the prosecution continues its case. I wonder if there's a possibility that the prosecution will rest this week. I think there is.
Oh, I think they have to. Cheryl's been saying, who else can they call?
Exactly. There isn't anybody else they can call. So.
No, now that we're at the lead detective.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, I can't imagine, I don't know who's going to be on after that. I don't think there's anybody left, unless there's a surprise.
No, the lead detective even tried, you had mentioned this earlier, Trish, but had tried to insinuate that there was a video. And how would that affect George's story? And his response was, I hope, or I would be happy if there was a video, or I would hope there would be a video or something to that effect, because he's not afraid of a video that would substantiate his story.
Of what he would, of what it would show.
That is not the answer that someone concocting a story would tell.
Absolutely. You're right. You're absolutely right. And once again, I think the masses, and I am included in that, were fooled by the spoon-fed information that was spoon-fed to the media and then turned around and spoon-fed to us. And that really, really makes me angry. And I tell you, I feel like Scarlett O'Hara standing on Tara's land. As God is my witness, I will never be fooled again, and I'll never go hungry because I eat too much. But that's a whole other story. We'll get into that later. Michael, nothing else you want to add?
No, not at all.
Okay,
at all.
Well, okay, let's see here. It looks like everybody is in the chat room, and nobody has any idea why Cheryl said this. It was a great day for the state. So I don't know what to tell you, but hopefully she'll be here tomorrow. Well, I'll tell you what, I will, wait a minute, there's somebody on the phone here. Let's see who this is. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Jan.
Jan. Hi, Jan, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. You're live on the air. Did you know that?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
yes,
good.
I
did. Did you have a question, my dear?
Well, I did have an observation by listening
back
to some of Zimmerman's talks between the investigators
and other
police personnel. And then one of the, I don't remember the guy's name, but this was a meeting that O'Mara was with Zimmerman and it was one of the TV shows, you know, where they were asking him questions. Well, there was a contradictory statement. Zimmerman tells 911, oh, shit, he's running. Mm-hmm. In this interview with this show host, he says, oh, no, he wasn't running. He was skipping.
Skipping?
Skipping, literally, he says skipping. And if you go back and search all of the different
I think it was probably 48 hours. I think he was on 48 hours. He was on Sean Hannity, I remember.
It was Sean Hannity.
Was it?
Sean Hannity, yes. And that's where he says he was skipping. Well, how
that's
do you
just
go
the
from,
oddest thing.
Oh, shit, he's running to skipping. No, he's skipping. And I think what the detective was trying to pin on him was, okay, so you crossed the T, but Zimmerman says, well, he sucker punched me. He didn't know where he came out of. I can understand that part. But what I don't understand is if you're on the sidewalk, on the straight part of the T and not between the buildings, and you're walking back to your vehicle, how does someone come up to your face? Well, he pointed out to the detective where the detective was standing, and they said, was he standing here? And he goes, yeah, and was saying, you know, what are you doing here, or something like that, what are you following me for, or something. Well, somebody had to approach somebody because somebody got punched. And then,
right.
And then one of the examples that Zimmerman is showing the detectives how the thing went down between the buildings is that when he was sucker punched, he fell and he pointed towards the tree. Well, how do you fall and how do you get back up to pursue this fight? And how do you end up beyond the tree on your back, partially on the grass, with your head partially on the sidewalk, screaming, help me, as your head's being slammed into the sidewalk, but Trevon's body ends up beyond the sidewalk further down. How do you do that? I don't know, and I
know what you're saying. Cheryl has brought that up before, and I think that's one of the things that the defense is going to have to try and explain. But please continue. Jan,
yeah,
please continue.
Those were some of the things that really got me. It does not make sense. Now, and how do you, again, everybody has speculated, too, how do you grab somebody, like one of the detectives said, what, you grabbed him by the ear? He grabbed you by the ears? It appears to be some kind of nick in Zimmerman's face and some on the scalp. That looks like fingernails, yet there wasn't any DNA on Trevon.
Could it have been washed away from by the rain? It was quite a wet night. Could it have? It might have just been just a little bit. Could have been washed away. I don't know. But those are questions that I think the prosecution should bring up, and the defense will have to explain away. If the defense does not get the trial, the whole thing dismissed, and I'm sure that's what they're going to ask for, then they're going to have some explaining to do. But I don't think they're going to have to do a whole lot. So let me ask you, Jan, do you feel that George Zimmerman is lying, or are you just kind of perplexed and you just don't understand how this all could happen?
I don't understand how it could happen. This is someone who, as O'Meara mentioned today to the detectives, you know, are you, oh, so we had this kind of flat affect. And I thought to myself, oh, yeah, no. When the detective left the room and one of the other female officers came in, she was wearing a T-shirt and a cap, she sat down in the chair. George was an entirely different person.
Really?
Into the, oh, yes. One of the comments he made in one of the interviews was, so did you, let's see, how did he say that? Did you position yourself? Because I put it in a tweet somewhere. He said something about, oh, was that a strategic position? He says it to this other female detective.
Mm-hmm.
And she tries to, you know, say, well, no, you know, I was just trying to get an idea, you know. He just seemed to be really social. There was no flat affect.
Really? When he's talking to the woman in the T-shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And she had a cap on. She was sitting by the door and on a chair. And all of a sudden, he was chatty catty. All of a sudden.
Wow.
And then when O'Meara said that today, a flat affect, you know, you're going to have bad dreams, you know, as Serino, I think it was, the detective had said to him, you know. And then somebody made a comment that, oh, really, you're going to go to work? You just shot a 17-year-old unarmed child, and you're going to go to work?
Yeah, that's a little odd. That's a little strange. And now they're bringing up something in the chat room as well, Jan. And Michael, I want you to listen to this, okay? When George shot Trayvon, they're saying it went through his heart, and basically his heart exploded. Everybody is saying, but I haven't heard this from a medical expert, everybody is saying there would be no way that Trayvon Martin could say, you got me, that he was instant. It was an instant death. There was no time for words. Now, if they get a medical examiner, here's one thing that could help the prosecution. If they get a medical examiner up there that says there is no way that that guy could have uttered anything except just physically drop dead, that will cast doubt on George Zimmerman's story, don't you think, Michael?
I do, but you think of, have you ever seen someone have a heart attack? I mean,
yes.
I have, and it's essentially what happened. I mean, you still have brain blood. Just because you're shot and your heart stops beating, you don't die that second. I mean, you can, I'm sure he did say, ow, or you got me, or whatever, and then because it takes a while for your body to bleed out, and as long as the brain still has blood in it, you're conscious, you know, and it's not an instantaneous thing unless it's a shot to the head. That's why you see when assassins really go to kill someone, they shoot them right through the back of the head, because without the ability to, that takes out the area of your brain which allows you to breathe and those, all of those natural life.
What if somebody, I see what you're saying, Michael, but somebody brought up a great point in the chat room. And it's already gone past me now, so I don't know who said it, so I apologize. Oh, it's Mrs. Norris. What if he said, what if Trayvon said, you got me, before the shot was fired? That would change everything. That would change everything. You know, you got me. If Trayvon just said, you got me, like he saw the gun and stopped and said, you got me, and then George fired. There's no way they could tell that. I mean, if it happened like that, there'd be no way they could tell. But I don't know. It will be up to the medical examiner, if one is called, to tell us exactly what happened there. And Jan, I'm with you. There are just some things that are a little perplexing to me still. But hearing what I have heard so far, if I was on the jury, I would have to absolutely find him not guilty of anything. That doesn't mean that I don't think he's guilty of something. Just means that the state hasn't proved their case. So I think the state might wrap it up tomorrow. What do you think, Jan? Do you think that's a possibility?
Oh, well, you know, that's a good question, and I'm not quite sure because what I'm hearing is that there seems to be a lot more questions than there really are answers. I don't think something is so simple and so succinct in its entirety that you have no room to question. Whereas, mm-hmm. you know, you have a seasoned detective on that who was he was not very forgiving, and even in spite of what he was saying today. And I think that basically stems from the pressure he felt, plus his demotion to being a patrol officer mm-hmm. after all those years, because he went beyond the call of duty, so to speak.
Right.
But he must have had a reason for that, because a lot of the times I've been hearing on your show, because I listen to it, and, you know, the question of Zimmerman being consistent. Well, no, if you go back and listen to what things Zimmerman says, like when apparently Trayvon was approaching him to sucker punch him, Zimmerman says several times, I was backing away from him. So my mm-hmm. question was, well, how did he sucker punch you out of nowhere if you were backing away from him?
He explained that today. When Trayvon jumped out at him, he'd obviously been hiding mm-hmm. because as George was walking back by the tee, he glanced mm-hmm. down and didn't see him. And then all of a sudden he just gets just beyond the tee before he's to the mm-hmm. rear of the house, and out jumps mm-hmm. Trayvon and says, why are you following me, or whatever he says. And George reaches down to get his phone to now call 911. Remember, he had been on the phone with mm-hmm. the non-emergency number
mm-hmm.
previously, but the phone wasn't in his pocket. And he said in that split second I looked down, when I looked back up, he was right there.
How did he know that Trayvon was on the sidewalk almost in the middle of it? How did Zimmerman know that? And that's kind of what I meant by there are too many questions for this to be just something clear cut and dry. And it's because I went through and I started listening to all the videos, and I thought, oh, this is not a consistent story. And how does Trayvon end up on his stomach with his legs crossed at his ankle? How do you do that away from the sidewalk?
I don't know. I do not have an answer to that, Jan. You know what, guys? We're going to have to cut it short here a little bit tonight.
Okay.
I was hoping Cheryl would call in, but she didn't, so I will give her loads of grief. She will forever, ever be sorry that she didn't call in. Jan, thank you so much for calling in. You added a great deal to the show. I do appreciate it. Michael, you know I adore you, and thank you so much.
Well,
I'm sorry, Jan.
I made some enemies in the chat room tonight, and I sure didn't mean to.
Don't, you know what, that's just your opinion. Everybody be nice. Michael's a wonderful man. Be nice to him. It's just his opinion. Chill. This is what I mean. Everyone
that's
needs to chill out. I wish I could give everybody a Valium, you know, like just a shot of Valium every once in a while, just to calm them down, numb them out. That would make things a lot easier.
Chill pills before the
mandatory. Chill pills. Exactly. Chill pills in the green room for everybody. Okay, kids,
I'm
heading out.
Thanks.
Hey, don't forget, we'll be back. Thank you. We will be back tomorrow night. Hopefully, Cheryl will be back with us. And do remember this, the opinions expressed on Trisha's True Crime Radio are those of the hosts and guests. And, of course, I take no responsibility for them except for my own. Trisha's True Crime Radio is a completely separate entity from WebSleuths.com, LLC, and ForumsForJustice.org. In other words, if you get really, really upset at something that you hear on the radio show, you can't take it out on Web Sleuths or Forums for Justice, come to me. Come to me, my darling little angels, and I'll make you happy again. It's Trisha's True Crime Radio. We're back tomorrow night, 9 o'clock Eastern, where we discuss true crime and current events, and we always do it with common sense. Good night, everyone.